Watch us. Love us. Just follow WEEI on Twitch. Jones and Keefe.
On WEEI.
Final hour, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. We'll get back into the Celtics, but a reminder, WEEI's coverage of football's postseason brought to you by Wise Snacks. Nobody does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Wise Snacks. Rough one for the Celtics last night. We can get into who you blame, why they lost it, but I'm still struck by Wiggy being so dug in this morning, Keith. We talked about it in the first hour.
Yeah,
of the show.
Oh, I'm not sure the Celtics could do anything for him to give up on him.
So,
or not even give up, but just to even like question them. Forget give up. I mean,
no one needs you to give up, but just I think Greg got him to acknowledge a teeny tiny bit that the team is not where he expected it to be. And so to me, that's the threshold for today. Can we all just acknowledge, and we can extrapolate it into whatever we want, and you can brush it to the side and ignore it and say the Celtics are still raising banner 19. But can we all just agree that it's January 28th and we all thought the Celtics would be better? Don't tell me they're right where they're supposed to be. Don't tell me this is what we thought. Championship hangover. Who thought they were going to win 64 games again? I did not take one phone call saying, you like Cleveland.
I do.
But no one was like, Cleveland will be better than the Celtics.
Not like this.
I definitely didn't hear a call that the Rockets would be better than the Celtics, which now after last night's win, the Rockets have a better record than the Celtics. OKC mopped the floor with the Celtics when they played earlier this year. They've had a better record all year long. I didn't hear the Celtics were the fourth best team in the NBA. I didn't hear they wouldn't win 60 games. In fact, early in the year, we were talking about they're better than they were a year ago. And now they're 11-10 over their last 21. 500 for far too long, slightly over 500 in the month of December, slightly over 500 the month of January. What'd you tell me, Keith? 8-6 both months?
Yeah, they're 8-6 in December and January. And that number kind of jumps out because if you look back at last season, the first year of all these guys playing together, they never had one month with six losses. So this is back-to-back month. There wasn't like, oh, there was a bad month last year. There really wasn't. They didn't have a stretch like this. And this is also a quarter of the season where they're basically playing like a 6-7-8 seed, you know, like a 500 team just barely getting into the playoffs. So it has to be more than eyebrow-raising to me because it's also not just playing down to the level of competition, losing to the Hawks, losing to the Raptors, losing to teams like that. It's also the other marquee teams that you think you'd get up for. The first time playing the Warriors. I know they beat them after that, but the first time playing the Warriors, you lost. Oklahoma City, maybe a finals preview, you lost to them. This Houston Rockets team, you just blew them out, but they are fighting with you for the third best record in the NBA. You're welcoming back your former coach, lose. You know, the Christmas Day game you lost. Like, you go up in Cleveland, you've split with. So it's been a variety of different types of losses, whether they're full strength, which have actually been worse when they're full strength. Last night they weren't, but it's really almost the opposite of an excuse now. You're like, oh, you didn't have Horford, White, and Hauser. It's like, all right, they usually play better when they're down one or two guys. Not the case last night. And this was a head scratcher because Jason Tatum didn't score in the first half. Didn't score at all in the first half. Only took five shots. He did light it up in the third quarter. And then they blew another fourth quarter lead. Like, that's another unfortunate calling card for the Celtics.
Okay, so I want to pick up with that for a moment. Let's get to Tatum in a sec.
Right.
I know you have numbers from the Rich Keefe Stats and Info Department.
Yes.
I want to give you this first, since you mentioned the blown fourth quarter leads. Forsberg tweeted this out right after the game last night. Celtics have their ninth blown fourth quarter lead this year, which matches the total from a year ago. Okay? Now, that can admittedly be a misleading stat. Maybe last year, you know, they were blowing 6-point leads. This year, they're blowing 1-point leads. Like, it's just a lead at any point in the fourth quarter. It's imprecise. But just know they've blown as many leads in the fourth quarter this year as they did all of last season.
Mm-hmm.
It's also the seventh time they've blown a 10-plus point lead this year. They had 8 all of last season. So they're blowing double-digit leads. They were up 12 in the fourth quarter last night. They immediately gave up a 13-0 run to Houston. They had a fourth quarter lead, again, 12. They lost it. They're already trending way ahead of last year's pace. So those are some numbers. What else did you dig up there, Keith?
Yeah, so they just had their 15th loss of the season last night. So their record right now is 32-15. When they lost their 15th game a year ago, they had 57 wins. Like, what a huge difference. Like, that is crazy. And we just haven't seen a winning streak in a while, right? I think maybe a two, and then there might have been a three, and then a loss. So just when you think they're getting over it, right? Because, you know, we had some listeners call in and be like, well, they did go 3-1 on the road trip, guys. Like, what do you really want? So as bad as the Laker loss was, you know, they beat the Clippers in their ugly kind of overtime game, but they beat them.
Could have lost, and the Clippers had legitimately no one in that game, but sure, they did win it.
The L.A. games were, I mean, it was more kind of bookend by, like, you know, you beat up on the Warriors. Curry did play. They were missing some other guys, but whatever. Curry was playing. And then you beat Dallas. Okay. But I don't know. They've just been pretty underwhelming for a while, and I understand why people want to give them the benefit of the doubt is because they did win the title. Like, if this team didn't win the title last year, I think there'd be more people up in arms, more people being like, what is going on? We'd probably start getting the calls about trading players and things like that, which I'm not advocating for at all.
No, me neither.
But I just don't know how long they can play 500 basketball until everybody sort of says, like, all right, something's up. And that was the thing with Wiggy. Like, Wiggy was given, like, a full defense of him. Like, who cares? They'll still win 60 games. Nobody's beaten them in a series and on down the line. I'm like, I don't know. Like, every time they lose here this month, I question a little bit more, like, Celtics versus Field. I'm like, I don't know. Good, like, the way they're going, like, couldn't somebody knock them off? Like, couldn't somebody beat them in a seven-game series?
That's the better way to ask it. Because if you're asking who would you take over the Celtics, is there an individual team I would take over the Celtics? I would think about OKC. I would think about Denver. So are there individual teams? Maybe not. But if you say it's the Field versus the Celtics, that's probably the better way to argue.
A lot can happen.
And so, no, Wiggy, I think Wiggy needs them to be eliminated before he won't believe in them. No,
that's pretty much where they were going.
So where do you come down on this? Are you concerned? Because there's been a lot of you saying, it's just a blip. Oh, they're just unfocused. It's the January doldrums, even though it stretches back to December.
Uh-huh.
Just acknowledge you've been saying that now for a while, and this has continued for 21 games, where they're a game over 500. And text line's pointing out, the Cavs, who have dropped five out of their last seven.
Well, they're coming back down to earth.
Including two to Houston.
True.
But
they got out to a crazy start.
They did. And you're not making up any ground on Cleveland because they're losing games and so are you. If you were playing well, you could be making up ground on Cleveland. Instead, New York is only one game back. So you can jump in on this, 617-779-7937. Let's all just try to agree the Celtics have not met our expectations to this point. Maybe they will. Maybe they'll raise banner 19. Maybe they'll fix it. But right now, it's been too long and too disappointing. Who do you blame for last night specifically, Keith?
So I'd put that one on Tatum. I think once you see you're down three of your eight rotation guys, I think you just need to be more aggressive. And I know he had some assists, but for a player like that to be held scoreless for a whole half is pretty alarming. Then he did get things going in the third quarter.
Is there any superstar in the NBA you let him off the hook for going scoreless in a half?
I don't think you let any of them off the hook for that, no.
Me
neither. It's happened. I mean, like, James Harden will do it. Like, there are years where James Harden, you're like, what the hell happened to him?
Or if,
like,
James Harden went scoreless in a half, but had five assists, just like Tatum last night.
Yeah, I'm sure he would.
Would they go, he's super involved, he had five assists, or would they go, he blows, he didn't score?
No, because, like, I didn't do the math on it, but how many shots per game does Derek White, Al Horford, and Sam Hauser take? You know, add those up. Those are now gone. I don't need Xavier Tillman and Jordan Walsh and Drew Peterson to take those shots. And not that those guys were launching. I think the scrubs took like eight shots.
Right.
But they were like one of eight. Like, those weren't even good shots. I don't know. I just want to put more on Tatum. Our guy Terp had some stats about when Tatum doesn't take a lot of shots. I think the number was 15. Under 15 shots, they're 1-3.
Yeah.
And the one win was a blowout where he didn't even play the fourth quarter. Then if you want to get into, like, usage stats, they're below 500 when he doesn't hit a certain threshold. So, no, he needs to be more engaged, involved, aggressive, whatever kind of, you know, adjective you want to put on it, he needs to do that.
He took five shots in the first half, 0-for-5 from the floor, and no points at halftime. As you said, he had 14 field goal attempts last night.
14 attempts.
The Celtics are 1-3 in the games where he attempts less than 15. I just did the math on it. There were 26 available field goal attempts.
Yeah.
Between Horford, White, and Hauser all being out of the lineup. And you would expect Tatum to shoot more. Instead, he shot less. So I agree with you. I'm not saying Tatum didn't do anything in the game. He was a monster in the third quarter, 15 points. He didn't do much in the fourth quarter, except he hit a couple of big buckets down the stretch. He only had 4 points in the fourth quarter, but they were two big baskets.
Mm-hmm.
I just think when your superstar floats through a half in your first game back after a West Coast trip, which is a game where your team may float anyway, you're back in a different time zone, maybe there's some lag there, your superstar has to be the one to come out and set the tone. He didn't do that last night. And I think there is a correlation that trickles down to the rest of the team where Dylan Brooks is just getting open three after open three.
Well, so that's,
after open three.
That's one thing. And I know Brown was kind of like, you know, what are you going to do? Like, he's not going to hit 10 threes in a game. Well, he did. And at what point do you realize, all right, this guy has it? Is it the fifth, the sixth, the seventh, I mean, the eighth?
It, like, wasn't, it wasn't even 10 for them. It's still going, I think, in their minds.
He wasn't. He was, what, 10 for 15?
Correct.
So it's not like
he took
that's the play and he's 10 of 45 or something.
Just to illustrate the Tatum stat again, Dylan Brooks took more threes than Tatum took field goal attempts last night.
Yeah. And they've had that happen to him where guys that aren't star players, they've sort of let go off, and then they have. And then you're like, oh, wait a minute. Like, it's too late. Like, it is the NBA. So just because it's not a star player, like, once a guy gets going, they can fill it up. Now, I know that's not something Dylan Brooks has done in his career ever before. I think they said what his career high, I think it was six.
Yep.
But okay, it was his night. And you know Udoka's gonna have his guys launching threes and playing defense, and they did.
Okay, so text line says 617-779-7937. Did you guys watch the game?
Yes.
They were double and triple teaming Tatum. What's the matter with you bozos?
All right, so every team should double and triple team him, and he'll never score.
Well, number one, yeah, he's the first superstar to face double and triple
teams.
He'll
never score.
Please. So I love that. But number two, I would allow for some of it is Udoka had a good plan for Tatum last night. Udoka understands what Tatum likes and doesn't like and wants to see and doesn't want to see and what makes him uncomfortable.
Did they not double him in the third quarter ever?
Yeah, right.
So what happened in the third quarter?
No, he just decided to wake up.
He's like, stop.
23, I don't want to just be passing the ball all night. You feel me?
Right. That was our guy Anthony Edwards, who hates the double team.
What did we say about that? We call him a big giant wuss, baby, loser.
Tough complaint.
Yeah, and so let's make that excuse for Tatum. Seems inconsistent. But no, Udoka might have had a good plan for Tatum. I'd allow for that.
Yeah.
But to float through the game like he did last night and then sit around and go, oh, why was Dylan Brooks open all last night? And just look at the way the Rockets competed and defended and got out in transition and the energy they brought to the floor. That's a noticeable difference between the Celtics and the Rockets.
Yeah.
That Rockets team, I don't think is uber singularly talented, overly skilled.
They're not. They don't have an all-star.
Young, athletic, good motor on that team. They have the third best record in the league, not on talent. It's on effort. And the Celtics have the fourth best record in the league, worse than the Rockets, because their effort sucks.
And they got the most talent. They also, once again, turnovers were an issue. I think they had twice as many turnovers as the Rockets. So anytime there's a game that comes down to 2 points, you know, that's definitely a stat you can look at, because you know, the threes were fairly even. You know, the Rockets were 17 of 41.
Rockets outshot them.
They did. No, they did. But not dramatically.
No,
they
had,
what, 6 more points from three, and they took just about the same amount. But, yeah, turnovers were obviously a factor. And, you know, the Rockets had two guys going crazy. You know, Thompson hits the game winner, but he had 33 in the game. And we talked about the 10 threes that Dylan Brooks hit.
So I was very impressed with Amen Thompson. And if he's going to break out and
good.
Be a superstar, then fine. But the Rockets aren't ready for prime time yet. They're almost all on effort. I wouldn't be surprised if that team got bounced in round one of the playoffs. You said earlier they're matched up against Minnesota.
Yeah.
I'd probably pick Minnesota in that matchup.
I hear you.
So they're a team that's going to feast in the regular season based on effort and catching teams that are asleep. And the Celtics last night were asleep. Mm-hmm. So maybe you think we put too much on Jason Tatum, too much blame on Tatum. He's a superstar in the NBA. There's been far better players who have won far more than Jason Tatum, who have faced far more criticism.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's A, inconsistent, and B, I don't think it's unfair to Jason Tatum, but maybe you do. What's wrong with the Celtics? You can jump in again, 617-779-7937. How much of last night is on Mizzoula, Keith? He put it on himself after the game.
Yeah, I think some. I don't think I'll ever completely tear apart the head coach in the NBA. Don't get me wrong. We've criticized Mizzoula, Udoka, Stevens, Doc Rivers. There's times to criticize those guys. I think Mizzoula year one, there was a lot of timeouts and specific day or lack of timeouts and specific things to kind of rip. Last night, maybe you kind of force the hand a little bit and you try to draw stuff up for Tatum or get him going a little bit more once you see that he's not doing it, or maybe you change how you defend Dylan Brooks. But no, I'm going to go more on the players. I mean, you have a better roster. Usually it's the players that determine the outcome of the NBA games. So I'll put him on the list. I'm not going to let him skate by, but I don't think he deserves as much blame as Jason Tatum does.
I think it's a fair way of putting it. He's on the list, but he's down the list.
Yeah.
I do think he got out-coached by Udoka last night. Yeah. So that's not a great look for him when Udoka is scheming up plays for Sengun. I mean, I don't think they really schemed anything up for Amen Thompson. I think he just shook Jaylen Brown on the last play.
Yeah.
But I do think Mazzulla got out-coached. I didn't think it was anything egregious, though. And Mazzulla falling on the sword after the game, he basically said, we don't need to play it. But he said the last two plays of the game are on me. No blame for the players. I give him a lot of credit for falling on the sword and taking the criticism because I know what he's trying to do. But while I respect that, and it's not an easy thing to say, a real loss is on me. I also think he's doing it for a reason, and I just wonder what that reason is. So
job security.
Maybe.
I don't think calling out players usually a recipe for success.
And there's a way to not do that, by the way. You can say, well, hat tip to Ime, or so, there's like a middle road that you could take.
I guess.
So that does shine the spotlight back on you as a head coach when you're giving the other guy credit and you're like, hey, good job by him.
No.
Well, then what exactly do you do? But I think there's a middle road there where you don't have to throw your players under the bus, but you also don't have to put the blame on yourself. I think it's telling about what's gone on within the dynamics of the team that the coach feels like he has to fall on the sword there.
Yeah, a little bit. I think he knows probably how fragile they are. And so if he's going to blast those guys publicly, plus like if it's Tatum versus Mazzulla or it ends up being Brown versus Mazzulla, he's going to lose that one in the public eye. He's probably also going to lose that one. Maybe even Brad Stevens. I mean, Brad would have his back to a certain degree, but if it really got out of hand, and I'm not saying it's there yet, but things are teetering. Let's see. Expectations are through the roof. He's trying to knock those expectations down a little bit with some of the things that he has said, but I don't think anybody else is really buying that. Like, this is the title favorite. They should win the title this year, and they're hitting some speed bumps along the way, and he's trying to figure out how to navigate it best.
So what's your concern level with the Boston Celtics? You can jump in. I don't know if Lanny, there's some Patriots coaching news. Do you have this in trending? I could tee it up for you, or we can react to it real quick here.
We got some new stuff.
Mike Reese has a coach moving on from the New England Patriots.
Oh, I bet I can guess.
A fairly shocking one,
I would say. All right.
So we can get you some details on that coming up with all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. Billy Lanny will fill in the gaps on that. We have the clip du jour on the way leading up to WEEI Afternoons. You got Hart. You got Fitzy. You got Ted today at 2 o'clock here on WEEI. And right after trending with Billy Lanny, stay tuned because it's time for Grab Bag. Going to bed, and my stomach is sick,
and it's all in my head, but she's touching his Grab Bag. The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by FiveMassMoney.gov. Yeah, and according to Mike Reese, Brian Belichick, who spent the last five seasons as safeties coach, will be moving on from the Patriots in 2025. The Celtics fell to the Rockets at the Garden last night. The Rockets' Amen Thompson hit a game go-ahead shot with 0.7 seconds left in regulation to give the Rockets the 114-112 win. Caesar back on the court tomorrow night when the Celtics host the Chicago Bulls. And tonight, the Bruins shoot for three wins in a row when the Bees will be in Buffalo to play the Sabres. And face-off at the KeyBank Center is at 7:30. Now that it's the new year, I'm sure we all want to take care of those holiday bills. You could have unclaimed money from a forgotten savings account, uncashed payroll checks, or a refund check that never got to you. Go to findmassmoney.gov today. It's a secure website and takes only 30 seconds to search your name. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI, WEEI.com.